This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's The Best Show. Hey, it's your old friend, Tom, the host of The Best Show. I'm back again for another exciting installment. This one is not happening live. It's a little different approach this week. We're pre-recording part of the show, and I think part of the show will be live. This is the pre-recorded part, and we're talking about who are the 50 angriest people of all time. Let's put a list together. I'm going to stop talking like that. Who are the 50 angriest people ever? You can call in and talk about it, and this will be an ongoing topic, I'm sure. So we're not going to get them all in now, we'll get them in later, but we'll get the ball started now. And I tell you, once and for all, wrap your head around it. It's the best show, and you got to love it because it's the best show. What else is it there for? It's there for you to love it. And I know you love it, and you can't help it because it's the best show. And we do it each and every week, and you love it. You know we're the best at it. Everybody else is a pretender to the throne of what the best show is. Everybody. So sit back, relax, and get ready for another episode of The Best Show with Tom Sharp.
Where's Dougie Yule? Dead, I hope.
Whoa! I went to high school with Dougie Yule. You can't say that.
Well, I can say it, but I didn't mean it.
For my man Jimi Hendrix. Turn up the guitar. At this time, you are free to throw your plastic bottles when I start this record. Hold on. You are free to smoke your weed when I drop this record. Turn my guitar up loud, loud, loud. How many of y'all there love Nas Escobar? Make some noise. Hold on.
Why isn't it?
I'd like to continue by telling you about Medical Direct Club's virtually pain-free catheter, the self-lubricating, the polished eyelet, and the pocket catheters. And if our catheters aren't virtually pain-free, then we'll pick them up for free.
It doesn't smell, it doesn't burn, it isn't greasy, and most important, it works.
Hey guys, you wanted me to do a review of my drive jacket, so I'm doing it right now. Basically, I'm just going to outline some cool things about the jacket, and I'll just talk about how it feels and whatnot, and how it's very comfortable. Anyway, it's got a nice little tag here with the logo from Drive, Steady Clothing. I got an XL, and it's not really tight, but it's, I don't know, it's not uncomfortable, but it's a tight fit. So, I mean, if you're a large in shirt size, order a large. I mean, don't go for a medium. Go for what you wear in t-shirt size, definitely. sometimes bigger depending on your body frame and whatnot, body weight. But it's very comfortable fabric. Quite shiny. Very nice. It's got a zipper. You can zip up all the way, and then it's got a little button here that snaps. Looks pretty badass when it's like fully zipped.
You don't get it, but you're laughing.
What is essential for a dry
That's
jacket
what it's all about.
The scorpion on the back. Of course, this is the stealth version. That's the one from the original picture. It's white with a golden scorpion. This is, of course, black, the gray scorpion. I ordered this one because it matched with more of my clothing. Of course, see, I got sweatpants right now that are black, and I just got a lot of black clothing over there and there. Anyway, this is a fantastic jacket.
Yeah, Best Show, let's do it. Here we go. It's Best Show time. We all have fun with it. And it is time to do it. The phone number, I'm going to give it out even though there's no reason to. 201-332-3484. It's just a force of habit. There's no way you could possibly call if I said that. Pat, can you tweet it out? Thank you. And say people can call for this weird late night version of the Best Show. I would appreciate it. So everybody, this is the Best Show. We're going to talk all about the 50 angriest people of all time. And we're going to talk about other stuff. And we're going to have our friend Brett Davis is going to be here with us. And we got Pat Byrne is here. It's a fun night. We're going to do a short version of the Best Show that will, I believe it will air on a Tuesday, accompanied by a short live version of the Best Show. So we'll make it all happen. That's how you do it. Make it so, as a great man once said. So let's make it so, and let's start the Best Show. And I'm just going to go right into it and get things started with the show, man. Let's do it. All right. Let's go to the phones. Best Show. Best Show. Hi. Hello. Hi. Welcome to the Best Show. To whom am I speaking? Hold on. Hello. Best Show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, my name's Lank. I'm from Toronto.
Lankford in Toronto. How are you, Lankford?
My name's Mike. Not
Mike.
Lankford. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
I had a couple for the topic.
Let's get it started. Hold on one second. I got to tell someone to call in.
Okay.
So what do we got? We're doing the 50 angriest people of all time. I'll keep track of this, Pat.
My reception is not so good right now. I was going to say Sean Penn, if he's been said yet.
He's angry. Sean Penn. Let's put Sean Penn at 41. Who else you got?
I had Rick Barry.
Rick Barry, basketball player Rick Barry?
The one who refused to slap another teammate's hand after missing a foul shot.
Yeah, he's
like, saying, why should I ever slap their hand for failing?
He's a weirdo. I'm going to say he's one of the weirdest people. I'm going to say he's not one of the angriest people. Although he was very right. irked that all he didn't right. get credit. He played for the Golden State Warriors, was irked that he did not get the respect that the other that so many other players got. But
by the way, I just want to say, for people calling in from Toronto, I don't know who you're talking to, Tom, but when most people I talk to who are basketball fans, we were dancing in the streets when DeMar got traded.
Well, I was talking to some different people. I don't know. I liked him so much. They'd be like, I liked him so much.
Yeah, that drove me crazy. That drove me crazy.
Yeah, so you just said, I don't know who
show.
I was talking to. You said, you don't know who I was talking to. You said it drove you crazy. You heard that from people.
No, I heard it on the show. I heard it on the show. You saying that all the people from Toronto said everyone loved Amar. It's like trading the worst defender on the team for one of the best defenders in basketball, two-way players, and so we could start the rebuild 2 years early.
I told everybody. I told them all. You got the better side of that trade by far.
No doubt. I just want to say that.
I was telling people in
fans of Toronto.
Yeah, I was telling people early on the second it happened. I was saying you got the better side of that. Even if he re-signs, maybe he'll re-sign. That's Toronto's the kind of city I could see him like.
And if they didn't do the deal, DeMar would still be signed until 2022.
Yeah, and they would have gotten bounced. The Sixers would have beaten them in five.
100%. Absolutely. And we would be stuck with this, no offense. Like, DeMar, he's a fine guy. But a guy who plays ISO and has low percentage long-range two-pointers.
Yeah, shoots 19-footers. 19-footers.
Exactly. I mean, come on. No, I just want you to know there are basketball fans in Toronto. And which brings me to my third angriest man, Vernon Maxwell. How about him?
He was all right. I didn't like him because he beat my hero John Starks, but I'm not putting him on the list. I'm not putting him on the list. Mad Max.
John Starks is also one of the angriest men in basketball too.
Well, that's
which
not
makes
true.
Him such a great
not,
player.
That's not true at all. He was filled with love.
He was still angry.
He was competitive. I mean, you could say Russell Westbrook is one of the angriest people ever. I should put him on. Russell Westbrook's one of
the... I love Russell Westbrook.
What?
I love Russell Westbrook.
But he's angry.
However.
You know he's angry.
Yeah.
He gets mad at everybody.
Hey, Tom, I want to say your show last night, that was one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
What made you say that? Thank you for that. What made you say that?
It's
like being in the hands of a master. A master knew where he was taking you?
I was just cracking up. Everything.
Yeah.
There were so many funny points. There was just the anger. The everything. Everything was so.
Thank you. I appreciate.
It was so funny.
Thank you. I appreciate. You have a great.
I'm gonna wish you a good night.
Great. You have a great night. Just admit the pizza's terrible up there. Just admit it's terrible. Say it.
Never. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. He knows it. He knows it's true. I'm being told to go to line four. I'm being told line four has a celebrity on it. No. I don't like this. This is AP Mike.
Yeah. What's going on, man? You just hear a little music in the background?
Yeah, what is that? You at that
little,
dude's house?
Beethoven for you.
You're playing Beethoven.
Yeah. I just watched Five Easy Pieces.
Okay.
For about the 40th time.
Yeah.
And I never noticed before, do you remember what Bobby Dupuy's middle name was?
No.
It's Eroica, which is the name of Beethoven's Third Symphony.
So you were watching Five Easy Pieces, which for people who don't know, it's this Jack Nicholson movie. What is it? Is it one of the Rafelson movies, right?
Yeah, his first movie. He's an anti-hero, classic anti-hero.
Mike, it's not his first movie.
No, I know. Oh, it's not? Oh, yeah, he did Head, right?
Head is his first movie.
Oh, okay.
The Beatles, monkeys have Head.
You got me there.
And it's the movie, it's got this famous scene where he goes into a diner and he's like, I want to get a chicken salad sandwich. Is that what he said, right?
Yeah.
And then
he starts off, he wanted tomatoes instead of potatoes with his omelet.
Yeah, I want
tomatoes. And he wanted toast. He couldn't get a substitute of toast.
Yeah, no diner on the planet has ever not been able to roll with what he wanted.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Could you imagine going in a diner? You go into a diner, you could literally say, "It's like, hey, can I get a hot fudge sundae with an egg on it?" And they'd just be like, "Yeah, if you're paying
sure.
for it, well, you pay for it, you get whatever you. We don't care. We'll charge you for it." Diners. That scene. Always seemed a little false. Like, it's not like he's in a fancy restaurant. Like, sir, you cannot order off menu here. I just want a goddamn chicken salad sandwich.
Yeah, it has its moments, though. I mean, I do enjoy it.
That movie.
Yeah.
Well, you like all the good stuff. Beethoven, Five Easy Pieces.
I actually got, I was kind of a weird kid. But do you remember the time we had a little more Beethoven for you?
Let me just say one thing. You realize you're a terrible caller, right? You have music playing in the background.
Yeah.
If any caller called you and they heard Beethoven blasting in the background, you would screen them out. You'd tell them.
That's true.
You would have bounced them. But you think
I didn't play it. I didn't play it when Pat answered.
Now do it. Do as I say, not as I do. That's what Mike's telling everybody. Do as I say, not as I do.
I thought I had a little latitude, but
no.
I don't know if you remember the times when you could go into a supermarket or the 7-Eleven, and they had records. You know, they'd have records there.
Records.
Yeah. I even got that. I don't even know how it came to be. There was a sort of Beatle one-off greatest hits type thing. It was had that shiny silver cover, and it had it looked like the cover for, a little bit from American Graffiti. It looked like sort of a 50s type album.
Was it the one that was like rock and roll music?
Yeah. It's just, yeah. And I got that in a 7-Eleven. And then they had, I think at my local food town, they had a whole stack of classical albums. You can get a classical record for $3, And I was curious about things, and I picked up some classical records, and I really what prompted that? I think I saw that the music from Soylent Green was I think they used the Beethoven Eroica Symphony.
Now one of the things that I know about Soylent Green, Mike.
Yeah,
I remember in Five Easy Pieces, he goes in, he's like, "I want to get some Soylent Green," and she's like, "Excuse me, sir, we don't serve Soylent Green." And he's just like, "Soylent Green is made out of goddamn people."
And you can bring it to me between your knees. Anyway. Yeah.
Mike?
But those were different times, It's like, I don't know. I went to a Wawa for the first time tonight.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd you...
I got to say, I think it's inferior to QuickChek.
You have no idea what you're talking about. That just shows you're clearly have some you clearly went in with a bias, Mike. Because nobody was more pro QuickChek than me.
Yeah.
Then you go to Wawa, it's cleaner.
All right, I'll give them that. But the
that's just they act like that's nothing.
But the aisles are all sort of confused.
Because you don't know them yet.
They're at different angles.
Mike, I could walk through a Wawa blindfolded and pull everything
really?
I want. Okay. 45 seconds.
I didn't get a sandwich. I kept it simple.
You didn't get a sandwich?
No.
Well, you also missed that. That's the true defining characteristic of a Wawa is the sandwich.
Do they take it verbally or do I have to do the screen thing?
You do a screen thing and Wawa had it first.
Yeah.
You don't like the screen?
I don't like the screen thing. No. It's impersonal. I like to.
You really want to get personal with somebody at a quick check? You're really, really that desperate for a friend?
Yeah, I do.
You got to talk to somebody at the quick check?
You know that old lady who does the sandwiches at Quick Check in Bayonne late at night? You remember her?
No.
You never went in there?
Vaguely. I really don't remember her, though.
I feel bad for her sometimes, In the middle of the night, she's making these sandwiches.
Uh huh.
Where most of the people are drunk and they're bombed.
Yeah, so why would you want her to have somebody go, I want to get a roast beef, I want to get roast beef on, do you have bagels?
She's probably going to help him with the screen half the time.
Do you have a poppy seed bagel? I want to get a roast beef on a poppy seed bagel. So rather than them just punching it in on the screen.
Yeah.
Where it ain't no problem.
I don't know who went with it first, but I guess mac and cheese is big at both of these places.
Yeah, I don't get that. That's a
I got it at Quick Check one time.
You got some mac and cheese at the Quick
Check? Yeah, I have to say, it wasn't that bad.
You know what we're going to have to do, Mike?
Yeah.
Wawa versus Quick Check.
Yeah.
One night, I'll send you guys out on the road.
Where's the closest one from where we do the show?
The closest Wawa?
Yeah.
It's probably on Route 1 somewhere. I think maybe Elizabeth, there's a Wawa.
Really? Okay.
send you
it's
there,
a
and
road
then
trip.
You could swing into Nardone's. The strip club that you can see.
Oh,
I've
heard about
the huge
place.
Mural on the
I've
side of it.
I've never been there.
Yeah, me neither. You drive down Route 1 and you just see this enormous mural of a pretty lady on the side.
Oh yeah.
Nardone's. You go there. Why don't you go there? Then you go to the you go to Nardone's. Then you go to Sonic. Then you go to Quick Check.
Uh-huh.
Right there. Boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3. To Wawa.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Speaking of adult entertainment.
Yes.
You know, I was driving home last night, and I didn't go back to Bayona. I went to my father's, and so I pass a few of these establishments.
Oh, great.
And on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
What do you think? The parking lot at 1 o'clock, actually it was later than that, it was like 1:30. I passed two of these places.
Yeah?
1:30, Tuesday night, the places are packed.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I mean, what's going on? You know, that guys are out at strip clubs on Tuesday nights, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, they listen to the best show, and they're still kind of ramped up.
Yeah,
yeah. They don't know.
It's bizarre to me.
Now that's on a Tuesday night for it to be packed.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this one. It's actually on 35, right as you get off the bridge. And actually, it's one of these places. They're really weird. Those juice bars. Where they don't even have alcohol, and it's all nude. It's and that's a weird scene. I mean, I was in one of those. You know, we're going back 30 some odd years ago, and it's a weird scene in there. Guys sitting there sipping on soda, and ladies, you know.
All right.
Trying to.
All right.
coax money out of their wallet.
Weird scene.
Okay,
no, that's
shocking.
Fine.
It was shocking to me.
Then I'll send you there. We'll go. You go to Wawa, you go to Quick Check, then you go to the wherever you were at there.
I had another idea.
You get an orange juice.
You know, we're relatively close to a cemetery. What if me and the other guys like climbed over the fence, and we did a remote from the cemetery
for Halloween, maybe?
Yeah, Halloween. I'll bring my little. I've got this little portable flashlight.
Yeah.
You
know what I'll do? You know the first thing I'm going to do? Call the cops on you. Get the three arrested, thrown in jail.
I'm trying to think of ways to promote the show, Tom.
This is what I'll say. Mike, I'll say this. Mike, he's flying high. He got Yakov Smirnoff to call in a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And now he's flying high. He's setting his sights. He's a real... real Freddy DeCordova.
I just saw Sweet Smell of Success. What's Tony Curtis's name in that movie?
J.J. Hunsicker.
No, that's Burt Lancaster, the other guy.
Sydney. J.J.
Yeah.
What did he say? He's like, you're a cookie wrapped in arsenic, a cookie dipped in arsenic. Isn't that a movie, right?
He's got a few good lines in that movie.
J.J.
You got to put the article. You got to kill the article, JJ. I'm begging you. You got to kill the article.
But that's another one of those weirdly incestuous, like Scarface with the sister. He's got a weird,
little weird
obsession. Well, yeah, the weird obsession with the sister that doesn't quite make sense.
Is that what the past was like? Was it that weird in the past?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe that was a time Freud was probably very popular.
People a little too close to their sisters back then?
Yeah, I think they were going for some Freudian overtones.
Sure.
But back on the PR tip.
Yeah, Mike?
I think you keep seeing these stories on the news lately about people who go out into the woods and get lost for a couple days.
On purpose?
Well, no, they don't do it on purpose, or so they say. But they've been happening with such frequency that I'm becoming doubtful about some of these people, that it's like it's a way to sort of get their little 10 minutes of fame, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what if, you know, we pull a hoax, you know? I mean, it's just between us. It'll be a hoax. But, you know, we'll have people claim that, you know, we were missing. We went for a hike. Maybe we can go up to the Delaware Water Gap and get lost for a couple days. All you have to do is put a few distressed family members saying, you know, they were concerned. And then all you have to do is get spotted by some, you know, search team.
Yeah.
And then we're on the national news.
You know, it's one part of this thing, that, Mike, that I might not track?
Uh-huh.
Is that you just told everybody about it.
Well, I think we could get our audience to, you know, keep it to themselves.
Yeah, sure. They wouldn't mind seeing the waste of resources. Helicopters flying over the woods looking for you and Pat and Jason.
But think of it. We'd be on the national news. I mean, the national news picks it up all the time because they look for stories that are completely meaningless.
But what would they do? They find the three. It's like, let's go to Idiot Corner now. These are the idiots of the week. These three guys from a radio show pretended to be lost in the woods, but the one guy talked about it on the show ahead of time, so nobody was looking for them.
I don't know.
But then they actually got lost.
Okay, yeah, that's how we'll play it.
Then you'd be like, we're actually lost. We need help. We're actually lost.
Yeah, could do it as a promotional thing, a promotional gag gone wrong.
Yeah, well, really, that's the kind of people we want listening to the show, too. People that would watch ABC News at 6 p.m. to watch a thing about people being lost in the woods. Hey, Brett, do you want to come in? And Pat, you can come in. It's very exciting. We got guests here, Mike.
Yeah, now,
do you know this? Well, you know Pat, of course, Pat.
Yeah.
He's a producer on The Best Show. I'm sure you've met him out there,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have.
You like Pat, right?
Yeah, Pat's a good guy.
Pat's a good guy. You like Pat.
Sidney Falco, that's Tony Curtis's name.
JJ. You gotta run. Please, I'm begging you. Just pull the article. You gotta pull the article.
He's good in that movie, though.
That's the best thing Tony Curtis ever did was Sweet Smell of Success.
I think so. In the movie flop, right? I mean, it didn't make any money.
It was either the best things he did were Sweet Smell of Success, and then he hosted the TV show Hollywood Babylon, which was just like,
you got a minute? Let me tell you a story.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Marilyn Monroe was one of the biggest stars in all of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these gloves on, like he still had his Boston Strangler gloves on. Like, he just would be on set wearing these black, like, driving gloves.
Oh, now I gotta look for that.
You got a minute?
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you a story.
He hosted, every episode was like, was just like some sordid, stories and things.
Yeah.
And he was just doing the wraparounds for it.
How many episodes were there?
I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was really funny because it had really bad reenactments and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then Tony Curtis's his rapper and his hit the every end of every episode.
You got a minute? Let me tell you a story. I was friends with Forrest. I was friends with Tucker, Forrest Tucker. I was on the set of F Troop.
Yeah.
You know what everybody knows about Forrest Tucker?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to hang up on you. Goodbye. Hung up on AP Mike. That's a first. But we got, Pat is here, of course. You know, Pat, Byrne, producer of The Best Show, one of the top producers of any show. And then we've got, a special guest, the comedian is here too. Brent Daniels is here. Hold on one second. Let's bring a welcome to the show, Brent Davis. How are you?
Close.
Close. You're close?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. Now, Brett, you did a show called The Special without Brett Davis.
Yeah.
And that show ran for 4.5 years?
About 4 years, yeah.
Okay. And you did how many episodes now?
Ooh, I think 170.
Yikes.
174 or 5 or something.
Once a week, an hour-long television show that had amazing production values for a small budget, a non-existent budget.
A deficit.
Yes. How much money did you, and, but you ran for 4 years, you did 170 episodes and you pulled the plug on it a month and a half ago, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what, tell me what made you pull the plug on it? How did you get there? When did you know it was time?
I think it could have been done a year earlier. I had some personal things going on that I was not fully attending to, I think. And just a desire to make something that wasn't an hour-long thing made with no money in a big studio with public access cameras and stuff.
Sure, and so, you had to rally 70 people to help you.
Yeah.
How many people were on the crew total for it?
We had a circulation of about 40 people at EML every week that didn't formally quit.
Yeah.
That was the hard part, was managing personalities and scheduling people. And producing was way harder than doing the actual comedy show.
And who were some of the people that came through the door on that? You had, of course, your buddy Joke Man. What's his name? Jackie the Joke Man? What was his name? Jackie the Joke Man?
Mr. Jokes. Yeah, we wanted one constant. Mm-hmm. So we got this guy, Mr. Jokes, Steve Whalen, who was would just tell one joke and then be off. And he was the announcer of the show.
Mr. Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also had that other fella, Darren. He seems like a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He hosts a show on WFMU now.
Yes, he does. He's a talented young guy. He's kind of like a rising star, you'd say.
Not really. I'd say it's a
okay.
He's got a star, but it's
tomorrow's
it's on a shelf.
Stars today.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think. I can look at the comedy landscape now and look at the first year of the show and say, you know, we called it with a lot of the talent that we had passed through. And I could say that, you know, this past, you know, year, you know, in 3 years' time, people will be like, oh, yeah, they also called it then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what would you say would be the high water mark if somebody wanted to go check out The Special with Brent Douglas? What would be the thing you'd tell them to check out first?
I'd tell them to check out The Special with Brett Davis.
Brett Davis, okay.
Yeah.
The Special with Brett Davis, without Brett Davis.
Without Brett Davis, yeah.
Okay.
You know, we had a fun one with Gilbert Gottfried.
Now, he was the parrot in Aladdin.
Yeah.
He played
two birds. And he was like, it's a living. Right? Was that what he said in the movie?
No,
that's the Flintstones.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm a parrot. Right? Did you want it? Right. Is that what he's like?
He had some catchphrase in Aladdin. It's been a while since I've...
You sure it wasn't, it's a living?
I think that's something like a brontosaurus would say before spitting out like shower water.
Or a bird that was enslaved to be a record player.
Yeah. Was that that bird's catchphrase, or is that just something any dinosaur would say?
I think the bird was just like, it's like, Fred's like, let's put a record on. And then Bird being like, it's a living.
It's not a bad living for,
yeah.
You know,
is the
it
bird
really
had to play the record.
Yeah, because they push his beak down on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to believe that that bird had, you know, breaks and regular pay. Well, if it was a living, then,
you would just hope, exactly. You'd hope there'd be some benefits for the bird.
Yeah.
Would be just kind of, they wouldn't just play, they'd be only allowed to play like 3.5 hours of records and then he would get a half hour break.
Especially if he could talk and has the mental capacity to realize.
He's endowed with the gift of speech.
Yes.
And
he
can also,
self-awareness.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that record was spinning, but the mm-hmm. beak was playing the music.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, the line, it's a living, always gave me the impression that this bird was then making a living. Mm-hmm. So there was pay involved. There was compensation and also just.
And also, are we supposed to think that the world is in a weird way rolling backwards where animals stop talking at a point? They're like, they used to talk back then. Yeah, they don't talk now. Animals got dumber.
Maybe. I'd love to see like a Making Plans for Nigel like story about like the one bird that didn't want to be a record player.
Mm-hmm. Just like, stood up like the gladiator of that, right?
Yeah.
The bird that refused to be a record player. What? It's not a living. What?
It's not a living. A Hanna-Barbera.
I said, what? It's not a living. Get your beak back on that record player, bird. No. Yes, get your beak back on that. I said, get your beak back on that record player, bird. I'm not gonna. I said you. And it just goes on like that for 45 minutes. I mean, I'm just arguing like some guy arguing with some guy in a caveman dress with a tie.
Yeah.
I always liked when they had that tie hanging down.
Like he works at like the department store.
Yeah. Well, yes. That guy. Ooh. So Brett, congratulations on finishing the run of the special without Brett Davis. And what, so the high water mark you're saying is Gilbert Gottfried.
I don't know. I think you could pick any episode and there's no, storyline mm-hmm. that we follow really. You could just jump right into it.
And what might be a low water mark? Like one to avoid. Ooh. What's one where you left there and you were just like, oh man.
The worst.
I might not come back next week. Cause I know that feeling here. Some weeks mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what I would feel when I leave here after doing a bad show? Just like, I want to go right back in and do another one. I could do better.
Yeah.
I feel like, let me just turn the car around. Let's do another 3 hours.
But you do that a lot with the next day or the next night, or, you know. Sometimes you record another show.
Try to just power one out.
Yeah, it'll ruin your week. It would ruin my week if I had a bad show.
I think I know the answer to your worst show.
What do you think it is?
I don't remember the specifics, but I know that you did a show once where you had almost zero turnaround from something else, didn't sleep. Mm. And Tom had a similar thing when he was driving back from Gonerfest in the FMU days.
Yeah.
And Tom thinks this was his worst show, but a lot of FOTs remember it being like one of their favorite episodes.
Because I was completely exhausted and drove right to the studio
You drove straight to FMU. Mm-hmm. And then Brett had a similar thing, right? It was like,
yeah, we were doing
I think Gethard came on that one.
Gethard came on.
And you were apologizing for like half the episode.
Hates you, right? Chris Gethard hates you.
You know, that's a question for Chris.
Well, no, I would say we can get your side of it now, because this is how I see it went.
Uh-huh.
He had his show.
Yeah.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, not during it, but at the end of it. Chris Gethard's show was on, very popular show on Manhattan Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got Leno'd by Brett Davis.
Well, he got Conan?
He got Leno'd. Here comes...
Well, Leno didn't
Leno didn't.
No, oh, yeah, oh no, you're right. You're right. Chris is Leno in this.
Yeah. He, it's not like I edged him out.
So here's how it goes. He was like, he's like, did anybody hear about this, human fish? It's, there's a guy that's half fish is half human. Right? He's yeah. like, everybody, welcome to the Chris Gethard Show. I'm Chris Gethard. We got over there band, director is, Murph. We got Murph over there. He's a band director. And, we got over here is, we got Shannon is here. And, we got the human fish. Anybody hear about this guy? The human fish. And then suddenly here comes Brett Davis. And they say to him, you're taking over, bro. You're yeah, taking over.
They being Chris.
And, but then, but there's a little bit of a scheming to this, this hungry young wolf, right?
No.
Two Jersey boys.
I
also love it. It's two Jersey boys.
It is. I mean, yeah, we do have that in common.
Squaring off.
We have a lot of,
So then Brett Davis takes over the show and he does 4 years, but then look out. Here comes Chris Gethard.
Yeah.
He's back. He bounces Brett right off the air, slides right back in with a new show.
I got
with his name in it.
With his name in it.
I got Leno. I got was it got Leno or Conan?
You got O'Brien.
Yeah. And now I'm just sitting here licking my wounds.
I mean, you think basically I'm a gunslinger. I was like when these guys are like they talk about how they're like guns, like these comedians with all their metaphors. It's like if you watch Comedians in Cars, which is the most nauseating show I've ever seen in my life. This Jerry Seinfeld show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And first of all, he's like, I invented this thing. It's everybody's ripping my thing off. Oh, you mean because Jerry Seinfeld was such a curious soul, and we all knew him for his interest in interviewing people.
He's saying that the format of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is in like a recent episode that
he's saying he straight up got ripped off at the
okay.
He's like, I gotta find this thing where he's talking.
The trailer, yeah.
The trailer where he's just like, listen to all these shows, Comedians in Cars. I came up with all of these. Well, I'm not gonna watch the Sebastian Maniscalco episode again.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Who's that impression of?
It's Sebastian Maniscalco.
He's always like, I thought it was
it was a doorbell? We used to knock.
It's always just like the past.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, you're not old. Like, how you're not that old, guy. It was like these, like, people who act like they're from the 50s somehow, where it's just like, you're not from the 50s. Like, you could not be that old the way you're acting. You're acting so much older than you are.
My car has a live feed in it. I used to have a mirror. Did the same thing.
Here we go. Let's listen to this. Let's see if this works.
Here at Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, we have noticed that we have, shall we say, influenced a number of other shows. I like anything with wheels. Such as Carpool Karaoke, Alec Baldwin's Love Ride, Comedians Watching Football with Friends, Funny Uber Rides, Clergy in Cars Getting Coffee, Hiking with Kevin, Politicians in Cars Getting Coffee, Comedians on Bikes Getting Soup, Coffee Break, Coffee Run, Cougars in Cars Getting Cosmos. These are all real shows.
Oh, shut up. Thief. Like you should be given a residual to Mark Maron every week.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder when I could talk to Comedian. Like, he sees Maron blowing his thing up. Suddenly he's like, maybe I'll talk to people in cars.
My friend Kevin Bannon, maybe our friend.
Brag. Humble brag.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He posed the question.
Good guy.
What would be your car and cafe choice for comedians? You get the call from Jerry, and he's like, where do you want to go? What do you want? What car do you want me to pick you up in?
Well, I mean, what if I take you to Panera Bread in a tank? Who call these people? That was another great Gilbert Gottfried thing when he would do his Seinfeld impression. Who are these people?
It's also the first time you heard him like not use that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes expected me in a tank. But I pulled up in a tank.
Yeah, great. It's a tank with it's really exciting. Get to see Rich Voss in a tank driving up the turnpike. They're gonna go to the Arby's.
On Route 10.
Yeah, the Vince Lombardi rest stop. Well, I thought we'd... Oh, that's Jay Leno. Jay Leno has a car show, too, where he's like...
And that one, it was absent from that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't diss his buddy Jay.
Like, they had a conversation internally about that. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to throw that one on there.
But this dude only rolled in and decided to do this thing when he was... When there's money to be made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not doing this for any love of interviewing. How much money does this guy need? And you watch the show, he's so out of touch. There's one episode he's talking to Eddie Murphy. It's like a rich person's convention. And they're like,
it's a rich off.
Yeah, it's a rich off. It is like a rich off. And he's Jerry Seinfeld goes, you know, the comedy is just when there's no money, it's better. The comedy's better when there's no money. It's like, mm-hmm. How dare you say a guy with anybody who has hundreds of millions of dollars
emptying out his shoe.
No, you guys are better. You guys are better off with no money for comedy because you get the money and then it's about, oh, about what? Oh, people getting paid? Like, then other people have to get paid to do it. Let's take a call here. Hey, Best Show, you're on with me, Tom.
Hey, Tom, this is Hillis in Brooklyn. How you doing?
Who is this now?
Hillis in Brooklyn.
Hillis, how are you, Hillis? You're here with Pat Byrne and Brett Davis.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So you're doing the 50 angriest people, eh?
Yeah, who do you got for the list?
You know, I'm a little at a loss because I haven't heard what...
Don't worry, you just say what you got to say. Say what you got to say.
All right, number one off the top of my head, how about Chevy Chase?
He's pretty angry.
Yep.
He's embittered. He's very embittered. They're going to put him in number eight, Chevy Chase.
I've got a couple more, if you don't mind. How about Morton Downey Jr.?
Yeah, he was angry, but he was not. I'm not going to put him on. There's something about him that was not. He was a performer. He was not actually. There was a point I was collecting Morton Downey Jr. stuff, and I have a Morton. Mm-hmm. I have a Morton Downey Jr. satin jacket. That is meant for a 13-year-old. I could not fit into it. I bought on eBay. Someone had a box of 25 VHS tapes of Morton Downey Jr. I bought it, digitized them. It was that was my favorite show. Remember Morton Downey Jr.?
I do. Yeah.
You digitized?
Yeah,
them.
I mean that was that kind of kicked off the whole trash talk show fever.
You shut your mouth. You'd always be like, with that cigarette yelling in their face, what is your problem?
But behind the scenes, he was like Fred Rogers.
He was, really. This Mr. Rogers movie also. I don't know, who's this for? Who is this for? Well, this Tom Hanks does these things where he plays like, oh, he's Walt Disney. He's Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
What's the end game with that?
Wait, he did play Walt Disney, right?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Like 4 years ago.
So a four-year difference, he's playing.
Sully?
He played Sully.
Yeah, he played Sully.
I think we got it. You know, we got to get all of them in one world. Hank's land.
If it's like the Spider-Verse,
yeah.
But we just combine different Tom Hanks.
The Hanksosphere. The Hanksosphere.
I just don't quite understand to answer your question, who the movie's for, considering. There was a very successful documentary last year,
yes.
And you know,
that's what I mean.
Everybody knows Mr. Rogers. Everybody's now seen the documentary. Like, do we need to see a reenactment?
I still cried when I watched the trailer.
For
the new one, not for
Mr.
Sully.
Rogers. Okay,
Sully, when he's just like, watch out for the birds.
Yeah, and there's a trial for
bird.
Some reason.
Sully was like 80 minutes long. First of all, it was like a weird,
it was
super
longer
short
than
movie.
The event.
The
was.
Flight was the yeah. flight was longer. The flight that went 3 miles from the airport was still longer than the movie Sully. That's like when Clint Eastwood directing. You know, he's just kind of like, yeah, we got it. Let's go.
Yeah,
we're good.
One shot, one take.
Yeah, what is this? Ed Wood? Now he's shooting like Ed Wood. We're good. Let's move on.
The older he gets, moving he'll just start on. Doing like half a take. Not
yeah,
even
exactly.
Getting the whole take.
The scenes he's in.
We got it.
He'll be in the scene and he'll just go like, we're good. Like he'll be in that, like The Mule, that movie, The Mule. Did you see that movie?
I did not. No.
I saw The Mule.
I'm going to say this about The Mule. No one's going to believe me when I say this. In the movie The Mule, Clint Eastwood participates in two...
orgies.
Yes. Yeah. Two group sex scenes.
Yeah. True.
Like two... Yeah. It's Clint Eastwood, high 80s here. We're talking high 80s. And look, good for him. If he's still... If he's still having fun with ladies, more power to him. But I don't want to see two of scenes. He had to put a second one in? We needed that second scene of him. Well, this guy's very, very sexy, of course, because, you know, he drives this pickup truck filled with cocaine all over the place.
They must be age-appropriate partners.
No, of course they're. Of course they're not. They're 60 years younger than him.
60 years. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like 60 years younger than him for the scene.
Oh my God. I gotta bring the drugs. I'll drive my truck the way I want to drive my truck.
And it's always like the guy's like, hey, SA, you drive the truck the way I tell you to drive the truck.
I'll drive the truck the way I'm going to drive the truck.
Yeah, most of his movies in his late life,
like,
the ones that he stars in and is the lead in, every plot is, you're too old to do something, no I'm not.
Yeah,
it's
like, and I'm a racist.
And I'm a racist.
It's like, his movies are about just like, generally about like, an old racist who people don't believe in.
Yeah.
I can't teach you how to box.
Wishes
I'm too old.
Yeah. I'll show you all. I'll prove you all. He could play like Tube Bar at this point. If he did a Tube Bar
red,
movie,
yeah.
Could you imagine?
He's red.
Clint Eastwood is red in the Tube Bar movie.
Tube Bar.
Yeah, I qualify alcoholic.
And he has the Frankie Valli guy singing in that alleyway.
Yeah.
Outside of the Tube Bar.
Because that's where the Tube Bar was in Jersey City.
Yeah.
Because the Tube was the PATH train.
The PATH trains, yeah. The H&M tubes.
Those famous prank phone call thing, Tube Bar.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Inspired the Simpsons calls.
Yeah, the ones
with... Journal Square Bar, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it moved across the street, and that bar is still open, but it renamed itself something. But when it was actually in this, like, stall alleyway, it was the Tube Bar.
Tube Bar.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Alcoholic. Alcoholic! Alcoholic! Why you want?
That guy should be on the angriest list.
Hey, red, you're right.
Red should be on
red,
the list.
Red is four. I'm putting red from Tube Bar. Angriest of all time. You're right, Pat. That is perfect. Red is number four on the angriest
perfect.
People of all time. Anybody else call her?
Did someone already get John McEnroe or Liam Gallagher?
I would go with Liam Gallagher. Is Liam, who's more angry, Liam or Noel Gallagher?
I think Liam.
I think Liam. Yeah. I think Liam.
He's got that quiet, seething rage.
And he still argues with people. Like, he's still like, he'll...
Yeah, he wants it every day in the streets.
Just, Liam Gallagher, 47.
He's a caricature of himself.
How far back in this list are you going as far as history?
And we could go to the beginning of time.
Get
you got
creative.
The right people.
Yeah, yeah, if you have one.
All right, well, then I got one last wild card slot here. There are some really easy names, especially in politics today. You can name anybody in the GOP, but I'd like to put forth a motion for Benito Mussolini, especially because on top of being, you know, an angry, horrible fascist monster, he's also kind of second banana in history to Hitler.
I'm not going to, because look, if we're going to do, we could do, the list would just be all dictators. We could just do 50 dictators. It's more of a fun list.
All right.
That would be the real, list would be like Hitler and Stalin and then the other dictators.
It'd be contrarian to not put Hitler then.
Oh, stop. Thanks for the call, buddy.
You bet.
Who's on the list so far?
Red.
Yep.
Chevy Chase, Russell Westbrook, Sean Penn, and Liam Gallagher. Best show. Are you on? I pressed the wrong button. Best show, hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking? You're here with me and Brett Davis and Pat Byrne.
Oh, Brent Davis. Okay.
Brett Davis.
His name is Brett, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, this is Chris in Portland.
Chris in Portland. What's up, Chris?
Not too much.
Do you have any questions for Pat or Brett Douglas?
Davis.
Davis?
Davis
Douglas?
Brett Davis.
No, I guess I don't.
Well, do you have anything for the topic, the 50 angriest people of all time?
I do, yes. Do you have any authors on the list tonight?
Well, let's hear who you got.
Norman Mailer.
Norman Mailer is a pretty good one. I'm going to think. Yes. I'm going to think on that one.
All right. Do you want some reasons?
Yeah, let's hear some Norman Mailer reasons why he would be on the list.
Well, he stabbed one of his wives.
Yes.
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 He headbutted Gore Vidal on the Dick Cavett show.
That's right, yeah.
He disagreed with his review of his book.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty, that's pretty angry. I'm putting him at 50.
All right.
And maybe we'll move him up.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. All right, buddy, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good, good. You're here with, it's me, Tom, and you're here with Brett Davis and Pat Byrne.
Hello.
Brett Davis and Pat Byrne, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on the call.
Now, who is this again?
This is Claire from Chicago.
Claire from Chicago. It's good to hear from you again, Claire.
I've actually never called.
Oh, that's Claire from Minneapolis. I'm so sorry. There's a Claire from Minneapolis who's been calling. You're Claire from Chicago. What's up, Claire?
Not much.
And welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. So, obviously, I haven't been able to listen about, like, who people have been calling about for the angriest people ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to suggest Klaus Kinski.
No, nobody said it. Klaus Kinski.
That's a great one.
Let's put Klaus Kinski at 11.
Great, great one.
Oh, wow, 11.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so do you guys have a favorite Klaus Kinski bit?
Maybe him freaking out during the making of Fitzcarraldo, if you watch the documentary about that Burden of Dreams. He's loses his marbles.
And what's the documentary that's just on him and his relationship with Herzog?
My Best Fiend?
My Best Fiend. There's a part of My Best Fiend. It's like, it's kind of a non sequitur in his story, and like, I don't know why it's so memorable for me, but like, he keeps going on and on about this woman that kind of like helped raise him or was in the house that he grew up in or something, and it's like he goes back to visit, and it's Werner Herzog remembering how it went down because he was with him at the time. He was like older and had been in a couple movies or something, and this woman's name was Clara, and he kept insulting her and calling her a pig, and it's like Werner Herzog explaining it, and he just kept going on, Clara, you pig, and I was just like, I remember this so vividly just from, like, him explaining it that way, but I don't know, it was just, like, so strange.
That's so troubling.
Yeah.
He's a weird, angry, confused, scary guy.
Yeah.
On the topic of calling people pigs, I feel like we're remiss to not mention Alec Baldwin.
Oh, no, he's got to make it. 6. Alec Baldwin at 6.
He's called his daughter a root, you rude little pig.
You put that in your bio or something.
If you watch this special, I call, like, anyone that makes me mad gets called a rude little pig.
Have you ever met, because you're a part of the New York comedy scene. Have you ever met Alec Baldwin?
I have not. Anything? No. It was contrary to public belief, he's not a comedian.
Okay. But he was on Comedians in Cars.
But he does an incredible Trump impression. You got to admit, good. It's a real loss if he doesn't keep doing that on the show. Because, first of all, who could do an impression of Trump?
Mm-mm. I mean, he's single-handedly keeping Trump from power.
Yeah. And exactly. And then you watch like Anthony Atamanuk do his weak impression of Trump. Sure, it sounds like him. Sure, right? Sure, he has the mannerisms down. Anthony's impression has the mannerisms down and the voice down. But he doesn't have what Alec Baldwin's impression has, which is that it's Alec Baldwin doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy. It's
a celebrity.
It's the guy from 30 Rock.
And honestly, Anthony Atamanuk goes a little too hard on him.
On Trump?
Yeah. Alec Baldwin, you know, it's never too.
I like the softy. Yeah.
So it's play. It's playful. You
it's
think
playful.
That,
yeah.
Like it's play. You're not like he's teasing him.
You know, they're not going to have a weird encounter at the party. They both
keep it fun.
Yeah.
Keep it fun. You know?
Keep it fun. Exactly. I think it's. I think comedy's better when it's fun.
Fun
and
is
not funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think funny is a priority anymore. I'd rather see whether somebody can throw a football through a hula hoop. Like
I think if it is fun, it's mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah.
It's just
okay.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Because to me, sure, you could write a joke and tell the joke.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But if you can like, if you can play beer pong against against Helen Mirren, that mm-hmm. to me shows that you're fun.
Yeah.
You know the great thing about Alec Baldwin is that he even went out of his way to diss Atamanuk's Trump.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
he, did he?
Like, no one really asked him to
no.
do that.
That's courage.
He really made sure that in an attempt to condemn Donald Trump, mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin acted like a complete bully with mm-hmm. the more powerful pulpit and was worse at the job than better people, but still just smeared and shouted at the more talented person.
Yeah,
from a bullying. Oh wait, who does that sound? It sounds like Donald Trump,
and that means an accurate impression.
Yes,
and he also did that the year he took the role of Trump, which is also the year that Anthony Atamanuk auditioned for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's huge.
I get it. That's the one for the diehards.
Claire,
yeah, Tom.
What else is going on with you in Chicago tonight?
Not much. It's been a long week. I mean, it's only Wednesday, which is crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know, right?
I was kind of worried that somebody had already, like, mentioned Klaus Kinski's night, so I, like, came prepared with a whole other, like, most angry person from my personal life.
Who do you have?
But I'm not going to tell you that story
okay.
if you guys
you
don't
have to tell
it.
You have to tell him. All right. Well, Claire, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I should just make it clear that Chris Gethard and I don't hate each other.
No, I know.
Been lingering on that.
Sure. Head. No, that's...
Have you ever done an episode that you thought maybe pissed him off or angered him?
Every time he was on the show.
Okay.
Including the one you mentioned. Somebody threw a potato at him.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part.
Somebody threw a potato at him. Why?
We were doing a series of Amish games, and one of them was potato tossing, and they threw it at him, and it was a whole thing, and I had to just apologize over and over again.
Who were some of the ringers that you would have in the cast of the thing? You had what's his face there, Nick.
Yeah, Nick Fanny.
He's very funny. Very funny guy.
Sally Burtnick was a regular.
Very funny, very funny. It's just very troubling Instagram presence.
Yes. So Spike Einbinder.
Spike Einbinder, right? Tonight on the show, Spike Einbinder. And the music of we have Crystal Gale on the show. May your sister be forced into a bunk bed with Spike Einbinder. I'm sorry. I'm making fun of this guy, this very funny guy. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
They're wonderful. And yeah, I think if you know anybody in Brooklyn comedy, they've probably been through the special at some point.
They rolled through Mary Houlihan. Mary Houlihan, our friend Mary Houlihan.
Claire O'Kane.
Claire O'Kane.
Firestone,
that's right. Connor O'Malley. The He should be on this angriest person list. Honestly, let's put him on it.
Yep.
Let's put him on it.
And by the way, this is probably
three.
This is probably
I'm putting him at three.
Connor has made probably at least three or four best show lists.
Uh-huh.
Like craziest or strangest. Yeah. Like, yeah.
He's angry. He's at number three on this list.
He made a list like two or three times ago whenever we last did a list.
Best show. Hello.
Hi, this is Cody in Texas.
Hi, Cody. You're here with me and Brett Davis and Pat Byrne.
Hello.
Cody.
How are y'all this evening?
Good to talk to you. Great name.
What's going on, Cody?
I'm not too much ahead of one for the topic.
What do you have?
Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla. He's not that angry, though. He's more of just a crabby kind of...
He's honest.
I used to listen to the early days of his podcast, and I don't know. I think there's like a crippling.
Oh no!
Kind of like,
I think he's a bad person. I think is probably what it is.
Yeah, I can't dispute that.
No, he's not even. I don't even know if he's a bad person. I think he's just a curmudgeon.
You guys are being mean. He's a saint.
Is Vince McMahon on the list?
Is he really angry? But he's performatively
angry. That's
true. I'm going to say
I can confirm that he is a legitimately furious person.
Really?
He sleeps 4 hours a night.
That's a lot.
He's 72 years old.
How's he sleep that much?
Yeah.
For me, that's like, oh, what a dream. It's a dream come true. Anybody else?
My backup, I guess, was Bill Laimbeer, but I feel like he's even below Adam Carolla.
I think he's below. I think Bill Laimbeer is lovable in a way. I have Russell Westbrook as a basketball player on the list.
He definitely, I think he fits the bill. He definitely dunks like he's got some aggression.
Yeah, he's mad at everybody when he plays. I like it. All right, thanks for the call. Thank you for the call. You have a great night.
You too.
Have you guys ever heard of the professional skateboarder Mike Valley?
Yeah, Mike Valley. I have.
He's like, more than skateboarding, he's known for like these fist fights he would get into that like people filming the skate videos he was in would zoom up, and then there was a compilation, like a VHS that came out in the early 2000s of just him fighting people. But, he's not that known.
Best show.
Hello, it's Lance Bangs.
Who is this now?
Lance Bangs.
Oh, my goodness. It's Lance Bangs. This is a celebrity. This is the guy. First of all, this guy made so many things that I like the Maury Sendak documentary.
Right on.
Which is great.
Thank you.
The Marc Maron stand-up that was at Le Poisson Rouge.
Yeah.
Thinky Pain. Was that Thinky Pain?
That was Thinky Pain.
That was great. What other things are you up to, Lance Bangs?
I'm preparing to do a Netflix special for Michelle Wolf.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then
just shot some stuff with the two remaining surviving members of the Beastie Boys.
That's right. And I talked to somebody who worked on that, a young man named Fred from Honolulu.
Oh, I didn't realize that he worked on that.
Oh, that's a burn. Oh, I'm kidding. He was there. Fred from Honolulu was there.
You know who did work on something this week is Pat Byrne.
Pat Byrne is sitting right across from me right now.
That's right.
Right on.
Hey, Lance.
Yeah, excellent. Hi.
So you have the Michelle Wolf. What if somebody wanted to see the best of Lance Bangs, what would it be? Would it be you throwing up on Jackass? Is that one of the...
There's a music video that I made that came out today for a Louisville, Kentucky band called White Reaper.
Oh, that's a great band. They're great.
Great band. Great
yeah.
band.
Yeah, great band.
And what's that song called?
Real Long Time.
Okay. I'll watch it later. That's awesome. They're really good.
Yeah. But if someone was going to watch one thing, I think either that Maury Sendak documentary that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Or else the Flint film called Breadcrumb Trail.
Yeah. Start with, I would say, watch him throw up a little bit. Then watch the Maury Sendak thing. Then the White Reaper video.
Yeah.
Is that a good mix?
That's a great lineup.
Hits all the bases. What's the worst time you threw? I always ask you about throwing up on Jack because you were a cameraman for Jackass and a producer. Were you a producer or what was your role?
I was mainly a cameraman for the the bit of the TV show and the movies, and then produced and directed some like making up type specials or the Murder Boss special, like things that weren't like the main core movies or.
Well, what was the thing that you filmed on Jackass that was the scariest thing you filmed where you're just like, somebody might really get hurt today?
Yeah, I think the scariest thing, we might have talked about this before, but when we were out on that golf course and it was freezing cold in like February and the golf cart flipped over.
That's the scariest.
It came down around Knoxville. It really felt like we were pushing our luck and it was like a bad energy and why were we doing this? And it's just not worth someone getting hurt and all those sort of like sick feelings in your stomach until he started getting up and moving around, and we realized that he had survived it.
Yeah, that first movie, that's one of the, that's got to be one of the three funniest movies I've ever seen.
Right on.
I would say that movie, that's unbeatable. Now, Lance, you're calling because we're doing the 50 angriest people of all time. Do you have anybody for the list?
I do. I wanted to say Peter Haskett from the Shut Up Little Man recordings.
Oh yeah. Yeah, do you know that, Brett?
I don't know.
It's this thing that was in San Francisco, Lance?
San Francisco in the Lower Haight neighborhood.
And there was somebody living in an apartment, and they would hear their two neighbors screaming at each other through the wall, and then they started surreptitiously recording them from the window. Is that how it worked?
I think that's how it happened, yeah.
And then, but the tape is this one guy, they would just yell at each other, and you're not sure if it was these two guys, you're not sure if they were a couple or if they were roommates, you just can't tell exactly. But the one guy would just yell at the other guy, "Shut up, little man! Shut up, little man!" Like when they'd argue, he would just say, "Shut up, little man." Which is the most demeaning thing you could say to somebody. Shut up, little man.
It doesn't really diffuse an argument.
No, exactly. It just meant that is pouring gasoline on it. I'm going to put, what was his name? It's Peter?
Peter Haskett, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Shut up. I'm putting him at number 19. Number 19 for Peter Haskett. That's a high, because he was a pioneer in anger.
And he wasn't demonstrating it for anyone. He wasn't a public figure. He was just, without his knowledge, being recorded.
That's exactly true, because, yes, he was not there was no performative quality, except for whoever he was. Who was the other guy again? It was Peter and
Raymond was the other guy.
Raymond, that's right. It was Peter and Raymond, and he would just yell at Raymond all the time, and it was so mean. It's really something to hear. If you want to hear Shut Up, Little Man, you should hear these guys. And there was a documentary about that, wasn't there?
I think there was, yeah.
I don't know if it was, I don't know, I can't remember it, but
I haven't seen it. I'm not sure if it's, how good it is, but certainly like the audio cassettes were floating around.
Yeah, the cassettes are where it's at. Well, Lance, anything else?
No, I just wanted to say hello and check in, and I'm glad that you guys are recording late night.
Oh, man, it was great to hear from you. I always love talking to you. I hope you're good, and I hope I see you soon.
All right, take care.
Take care, buddy. Lance Bangs, very talented guy, very talented guy. Did you ever hear Shut Up, Little Man? Do you know what that is? You never heard it?
I hadn't, no.
I may have, but it doesn't ring a bell.
All right, let's see if we can find some here. Let's see. Best Show, hi.
Hello?
Hi, welcome to the Best Show. You're here with Tom, and I'm here with Brett Davis, and with Pat Byrne.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
To whom am I speaking?
This is Evan in Hillsboro, Oregon.
Evan in Hillsboro, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
What's going on in Hillsboro, Oregon tonight?
I am outside in candlelight. It's lovely outside.
It's a nice night. Warm weather.
Not too warm though. Actually, that's the lovely thing about it. Last year around this time, I think everything was smoky and on fire. So we're really grateful it's not that way tonight.
So you'll take it.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to take it. Anything. It's better when things aren't on fire.
Always.
Wouldn't you agree with that? just when things are just generally not on fire.
Yes.
I think that things go down better when they're not burning. So I'm glad nothing's burning right now.
Thank you. Yes, so are we.
Do you have anything for the topic? The 50 angriest people of all time?
I do. I have, if you'll allow it, I would like to nominate Long Island.
You're saying the actual Long Island.
Basically, it's sort of inspired, like maybe people have brought up the Bagel Boss guy tonight already, but I feel like any resident of Long Island is going to register, maybe not at the top of the scale, but probably above someone that they would register in the top 50.
That guy, that bagel guy, that was just troubling to me on all fronts, that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad. Yeah. I felt bad for the guy, but it's like, why is he yelling at he's yelling at people that had nothing to do with his predicament or his anguish.
I've seen that guy so much, like.
Out and about?
No, I mean, not him per se, like, it's just like, growing up, like,
oh, that type of guy.
You guys, like, growing up in this area, like,
yeah,
you've seen that person, like, so much. Yeah.
Been yelled at that person.
By that person. Yeah. Usually, like, running a landscaping. They would wear, like, some kind of landscaping shirt.
Yeah.
Or, like,
always
a hoodie.
Always in public.
Yeah.
Always something going on.
Yeah.
And, like, it's either family related or, like, they're with someone, or they're yelling at the person behind the counter, and you're just there, you're in line behind them or whatever. It's just like, I hate it. It brought back so many things of just like, I know this situation and I hate it.
Yeah.
So much.
The, it's always great when you go to the post office and like, they're working hard at the post office and they have to abide by all these rules at the post office, and they're understaffed.
Yeah.
And then these people, there's always one person in line at the post office where it's just like, oh, can you believe this?
Yeah.
We're online. What is this? This line's forever. What is this? What's going on here with this? And they just look around for somebody to go, yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. But nobody ever does.
Right.
Nobody ever commiserates with them. They're just like, this is ridiculous.
It's like, yeah, they're.
I've been online for 5 minutes.
The federal government cut all the funding for this.
And these people are working hard back there trying to make this happen so that your package can get mailed. And then they go up to the thing and they kind of are not prepared. They're just like, yeah, I want to mail this. Do you have tape? There was like, do you have tape?
We have tape.
Yeah. There's one with the tape.
Pen, tape.
Sir, we don't have any tape. You have to buy the tape. I got to buy the tape. Yes, you have to buy the tape.
They show up with like an item that they then want to put in an envelope and then write out.
Y'all want to mail this?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to mail? Well, you need to get the way boxes over there, and then there's packing.
Oh, you got to be kidding me!
Well, so what do you mean boxes over there? It's like how much is this going to cost? Well, if you send it priority mail, it'll be $16.95. I mean, what is this? Yeah, can you believe that your package will go across America in 2 days and that it would cost a whole $16 for it to do that?
Well, it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, not like it used to be, yes, when they were doing everything without computers at the post office. They had to take out a book to flip through for zip codes to help you. Anyone else? Caller?
No, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You guys have a great night.
You have a great night. Thanks. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. You're here with me and Brett Davis and Pat Byrne.
Hello.
Hi, Brett. Hi, Pat.
Were you a fan of the special without Brent Davis?
Oh, I can answer that.
I never got to see it.
Yep, there we go.
He didn't get around to it yet, Brett.
Hey. It's the same with everyone.
Yeah. Look, I haven't seen yet. Yeah. Right? There's shows I haven't gotten to yet. Like, what's the biggest show you have not seen? Like the one that you can't believe, people can't believe.
I never watch an episode of Friends.
What?
Never.
Remember when Darth Vader went, what?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's, that's Darth Vader in the first one.
What? What?
I got Peter Serafinowicz to do that. My, I had a five-minute conversation with him, and I convinced him to do the what? Because he did it on his show.
Yes.
Yeah.
He, I told you what happened with him, right, when I went to the Comic-Con in Philly, and I went with him to a Comic-Con in Philly with Peter Serafinowicz.
I vaguely remember the story, but...
And we went, and because he did the voice of Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. And there was a guy dressed as Darth Maul at it who had the contacts in and had this crazy, like, lightsaber, the dual lightsaber staff. And Peter saw him, and he said to me, he's like, would you do me a favor and bring that... Like, can you... go over and point at him and tell him to look over here. And, like, I was just like, hey, yeah, a friend of mine wants to say hi to you. And this guy's, like, in dress like Darth Maul, like, spike, like, horns up the head. And then he turns, and the guy, like, turns, and he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it was, like, coming out of, like, a guy dressed like Darth Maul. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, Greg, get over here. You got to take a picture with me. It's this is going to do the voice of Darth Maul. Like, total, like... Philly dude. Oh my God. Oh, hey. Oh, it's so nice to, it's exciting to meet you.
This was at, like, a Comic-Con?
Yeah, but coming out of the guy dressed head to toe like Darth Maul, that voice.
Yeah.
Was. Now, caller.
Yeah?
Do you have anything for the topic tonight?
Yeah, I had a couple.
What do you got? Let's hear it.
Morrissey.
He's
I don't even think he deserves to be on a list.
He's angry in a way that's not fun. Yeah. I don't want that on this list. He's just angry in a gross way.
Yeah.
I just thought he was like, there's a consistent level of just
me?
Just in general. I wasn't thinking of, like, the latent racism.
Sure,
I just
okay.
thought, like, how he, I'm just like, this, he doesn't like any artist. Like, sort of like he was sort of like angry, like, Liam Gallagher was before Liam Gallagher, like other artists.
I'm going to say Liam Gallagher is on the list, so we're going to have, he'll be the representative for that scene.
Okay.
Big mouth, la-da-da-da-da. Big mouth, la-da-da-da. Big mouth strikes again, and I got no time to make my place in the human race.
What has Gethard said about Morrissey? He was a big fan.
He got his tattoo. He just has a line through his tattoo now. No, he doesn't. he wrote a thing about it, how he was...
I didn't see
He wrote a thing about just reckoning the idea of admiring an artist and then them not being good humans. And so Nick Cave also wrote a thing about it recently, which was good, which I enjoyed. So anybody else?
I was going to say James Woods.
Yeah, he might make.
That's funny.
Let's put him at 49. I'm going to put James Woods at 49. That's a good one. Anybody else? Any other things you want to try?
Well, those are the two I had.
Well, that's good. That's enough. You got one on the list. You did what you did it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You have a great night.
You too.
Wasn't James Woods on an episode of The Simpsons?
He was on Family Guy all the time.
Yeah, no, he was on a Simpsons, like, in the first, like, few years of it or something.
Hmm.
He's fun.
Yeah.
Shut up, little man. Nobody asked you to say anything. Shut up, little man! I got a decent dinner ready.
It's really troubling.
That's makes you feel bad already.
Yeah. Best show. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You're here with me and Brett Davis and Pat Byrne.
How are you guys doing tonight?
To whom am I speaking first, and then they'll say hi back to you.
This is Nicholas in Portland, Oregon.
Nicholas in Portland, Oregon. What's going on in Portland tonight?
Oh, not much. Just kind of just finished eating some eggs and some bacon and smoking on some devil's lettuce.
Yeah, some devil's lettuce, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man. Right? Bump, 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 right? White Rabbit. Right?
It's a real jazz club in my apartment tonight.
Jazz cigarettes.
Yes.
What other song would you hear here? Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Right? Those are the weed songs from the movies.
Yes. That and maybe some Grateful Dead in there. Maybe some, what is it, like Shakedown Street?
You're trucking. Right? So what do you have for the topic tonight, Nicholas? The 50 angriest people of all time.
I was going to say J. Edgar Hoover.
See, that we're trying to stay away from politicians, kind of, and because then the list, we could fill the list out so easily. Like, it would just start with Hitler and then go from there.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm just trying to think now. Maybe Christian Bale, he's kind of had
because
some,
he threw the temper tantrum on the set.
Yeah, I think it was. I probably would too if I would if I was in like a second run Terminator film.
Well, this is what I would say. This is what I say to that. I'm 100% on Christian Bale's side on this one because he's on a set, right? Now this guy's on a set. He's got to pretend that like some Martian is coming down or whatever, and he's got to be like, he's like, look at the bleeding Martians coming down, right? He's like got to do his thing. And then the DP, who they try to make is like this crew person walked onto the thing. It's like, no, this is a director of photography for Hollywood movies. This guy's a multimillionaire, walks onto the set while he's in the middle of acting and interrupts him from acting, and he's concentrating on that and trying to pretend that he's fighting Martians or whatever goes on in those Terminator movies. And it's the most rude thing you can do.
Fair enough, but I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis would have broke. I think he would have, if Christian Bale was a true professional.
No, he is a true professional. He is a true professional. This DP was famous for interrupting shots also, for being rude.
Oh, right.
Oh wow!
I'm on Christian Bale's side on this one. He got screamed. He screamed at the guy. Guy earned it.
Well, I think I might have to agree with you.
All
I
right.
guess.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, anybody else, Nicholas? It's all right if you don't have anybody. Don't worry.
Fortunately, don't. I can't really think of anything else off the top of my head.
That's fine. Thanks, buddy.
You have a good night, though.
You too. We should wrap it up, right?
What about Meatloaf?
Meatloaf is pretty. Well, yeah, he's pretty angry. Like
from that like apprentice stuff where he didn't he couldn't find his art supplies.
That's right. 33 Meatloaf. This list is going to be all guys. Like this list is just probably all
should,
guys.
It's the one that should be probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you
going to
say?
I'm trying to think of a woman that would match up to these guys. I'm sure they're out there, but none are coming to mind.
These guys are the worst. I remember somebody said to me, they're like, oh, yeah, there's this, like, Wolf of Wall Street. And not Wolf, it was like, oh, the Big Short. It was like, yeah, it's all guys in it. It's like, yeah, guys were the ones that ruined the economy. that's a movie that you shouldn't have diversity in because suddenly you'd be like, spreading the blame to anybody but like these crummy white guys who were the ones who tanked the economy. Well, that's me on my soapbox, guys. That's the views expressed in that rant are not necessarily the views of the best show.
Tom's Corner.
Tom's Corner, yeah. The rant. All right, I'm going to block the call, so we're not going to take any more calls. Brett Davis, it's so exciting to have you here. You're one of my favorite people, and
thank you.
Started off, and AP Mike championed you, and you climb through the ranks of the old Best Show, and then look at you now. You did it.
You're on the Best Show.
Mission accomplished.
Official guest.
You're back on the show. You did it. No, it's great. What's going on? Do you have anything you want to let everybody know about?
Ooh, I do.
Oh, yeah, big show.
I have two big shows.
Let's hear it.
I've got the 100th episode of the Podcast for Laundry.
Okay.
Which is my podcast that you've been on and mm-hmm. you may be on in the future.
Maybe.
Stay tuned. That's through Forever Dog, and we're doing a live show.
Dog.
What other shows? What shows do you hate on Forever Dog? You can say it now. We'll bleep them out.
I don't listen to the other shows.
Oh,
really.
That's the coldest thing. The opposite of love is not hate. It's disinterest.
They had some. I have friends on there. There's none I hate.
Okay, so.
But August 2nd at Union Hall, 100th episode of the Podcast for Laundry, and Brett Davis is receiving the Podcast of the Year Award from Mayor de Blasio.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And then the big one on August 18th is the it's the Macaulay Culkin Show. This is a show I've been doing since 2013.
Yeah, yeah.
I co-host with Sally Burtnick, and mm-hmm. we just named it the Macaulay Culkin Show for no reason.
Mm-hmm. To be funny.
Not even. It's not like a fun. It's not a joke. I think it was just a.
But like in a random way. Funny.
We weren't even trying to be random. It was just something that weirdly stuck. Mm-hmm. But we're doing it on the 18th, upgrading it to the Bell House for a show with 20 comedians, with the likes of my friend Chris Gethard and Anna Fabrega, and who's on Los Spookies, and Lorelai Ramirez, John Glazer. A bunch of other people. And the big news at the Bell House on August 18th is that our co-host will be the Macaulay Culkin.
Wow.
This is the announcement. It's out there.
Yeah.
This is the first time you're telling people this?
This is the first time I'm telling people this, right. But I don't know when this is coming out.
That's very well. This
it
will,
might be th- out there.
This will air on October. No. This will air on the 30th.
Okay.
July 30th.
Well, there you go. You could get tickets now.
Go for it, guys.
Or maybe they're sold out.
They might be already. You might have missed out.
Well, then come to the podcast. So that's definitely not sold
swing
out.
Over. No, at Union Hall, that will be sell out too.
Yeah.
Pat, Byrne, anything?
I got nothing on the books, and it feels good, but, enjoying the rest of the summer. But I'm on, what would it be, 99 of the
summer? Oh, no, that one is released already.
It's released, but would that be
episode 97, 98?
Yeah, on the Apology Tour, I'm at the end of that episode, and it was a lot of fun, and we did a funny thing, and people should check that out for the Podcast for Laundry. And then
there's a huge Pat Byrne storyline on the Podcast for Laundry. If you haven't heard it, seek it out.
I'm honored for that, but that it was a lot of fun, and that was cool. And then what was I going to say? Oh, we should plug the Patreon work because we're close to a number, right? Of hitting aren't we close to? I thought something.
I don't know,
but.
Go to Patreon. This is the only way you can support The Best Show is over at patreon.com/TheBestShow. We don't have ads on the show. We don't have sponsorships or anything like that. The show is all the expenses are covered and people get paid through the Patreon. It's the way you do it. So good. And we give you things for the different pledge levels. Patreon.com/TheBestShow. There's bonus things go up and shows. There's a bonus, a miniature episode of The Best Show will have gone up a couple days ago. All sorts of great stuff. So don't miss out.
For as little as $5 a month, you get bonus content delivered to your email each and every week, or close to each and every week.
Yes, of course. And
within reason.
Within reason. So go do that and check it out. And thanks for the people who do support it. I appreciate it. And The Best Show will be back maybe, I don't know. This might have been the last show too. We'll see. I don't know where I'm landing on this. I'm still feeling where I'm at. So let's say until then, let's say